This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The immediate priority after the burial of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the choosing of his successor in leading the ummah. A group of the companions made their way to the whole of Medina, called the Saqifa of Banu Sa'idah, to determine who would be the first successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar had prepared a speech, but just before he spoke, Abu Bakr requested the opportunity to speak first. And after hearing what Abu Bakr had to say, Umar said, "Wallahi ma taraka min kalimatin a'jabatni fi tazwiri illa qala fi badihatihi mithlaha aw afdala minha." He said, "I swear, everything that I had prepared to say prior to this meeting, he mentioned it or added something better without any prior preparation." Umar said, "However, there was one thing that I disliked about the speech of Abu Bakr." When Abu Bakr completed his speech, he took the hands of Umar and Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah and he raised them. And he said, "I am satisfied that either of these two men should be the caliph to lead the Muslims after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Umar's dislike of Abu Bakr's final statement was due to the high regard which he held Abu Bakr. Umar, he said, "I swear by Allah, for me to have my head cut off without it drawing me to any sin, that is dearer to me than to rule a people when Abu Bakr is in their midst. That will never happen." Then Umar, he turned to Abu Bakr and he placed his hand within the hand of Abu Bakr and he gave him the pledge of allegiance. And upon seeing this, all of the companions who were present rushed to Abu Bakr and they pledged their allegiance as well. Abu Bakr now was on the verge of giving his first sermon as the Caliph of the Muslims. And it was eloquent, it was wise, it was comprehensive, and it was unambiguous. After gathering the Muslims, he ascended the pulpit and he praised Allah Almighty and he said, "Inni qad wallitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي." O people, I have been appointed over you, although I am not the best among you. If I am right, then obey me. If I do wrong, then set me right. الصِّدْقُ أَمَانَةٌ وَالْكَذِبُ خِيَانَةٌ. Truthfulness is a trust. Lying is a betrayal. الضَّعِيفُ فِيكُمْ قَوِيٌّ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أُرِيحَ عَلَيْهِ حَقَّهُ. And then he said, "The weak among you is strong in my eyes until I return to him his rights from others, insha'Allah. And the strong among you is weak in my eyes until I take from him people's right upon him, insha'Allah." And then he said, "لَا يَدَعَ قَوْمٌ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا ضَرَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالذُّلِّ." Whenever a people forsake jihad in the path of Allah, Abu Bakr, he said, Allah will humiliate them. وَلَا تَشِيعُ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا عَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْبَلَاءِ. And whenever obscene sins spread amongst people, Allah will afflict them all with calamities. And then he concludes by saying, أَطِعُونِ مَا أَطَعْتُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِذَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَلَا طَاعَةَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Messenger. But if I disobey them, then there is no duty upon you to obey me. That's it. This was Abu Bakr's manifesto promising the believers that he would live and die upon the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was true to his every word. During his short reign, Abu Bakr unified the Islamic nation under the central authority of Medina after the wars of apostasy. A series of civil wars would also take place by rebel separatists, and after eliminating these false prophets who emerged, including Musaylama, who was the strongest of the insurgent leaders, and these successes led to a mighty central government in the Arabian Peninsula and paved the way for the expansion of Islam into Syria and Iraq. He also began the process of compiling the Quran into a single book format, a single manuscript, which was prior to this preserved in the hearts and the minds of the believers, as well as in scattered manuscripts in different parts. before the death of Abu Bakr, Muslims marched from Iraq to Damascus. They defeated a large Byzantine army in Ajnadin, in Palestine, which gave the Muslims a foothold in that country. So during Abu Bakr's short reign, the Islamic State launched from its infancy and embarked on a movement of expansion which produced the subsequent Islamic empires. His were years of blessings and prosperity and unity, unrelenting adherence to the prophetic way. Abu Bakr's position as Caliph Khalifa lasted little over 2 years and 3 months before he suffered his final illness. Upon sensing that his life was coming to an end, Abu Bakr called Uthman to write his will on his behalf. In this will, Abu Bakr appointed Umar ibn al-Khattab as the next caliph of the Muslims. And he said, after praising Allah, "I nominate Umar ibn al-Khattab as my successor. So listen to him and obey him. If he acts right, then this is what I hope and assume of him. If he transgresses and he commits evil, then I cannot see into the future, and every person shall receive a share of what he earned, and those who have wronged are going to know what kind of return they will be returned to." As he lay on his deathbed, inhaling his final gasps of air, Abu Bakr asked his daughter Aisha, "What day is this?" She said, "It's Monday." And so when he heard this, he said, "فَإِن مِتُّ مِن لَيْلَتِي فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُوا بِيَ الْغَدْ فَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَيَّامِ وَالْلَّيَالِ إِلَيْهِ أَقْرَبُهَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ "If I die tonight," he said, "please don't wait until tomorrow, bury me instantly. Because the most beloved of days and nights to me are those that are closest to the Messenger of Allah, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ." SubhanAllah, over 2 years had passed since the death of the Prophet. 2 long years of exhaustion, warfare, sleepless nights, planning, thinking for the religion. Yet the memories of the Prophet did not fade from him. This was the moment Abu Bakr was experiencing. These were the throes of death. And when one's primary concerns tend to be, at that moment, family or inheritance issues, the thought of his dying self didn't even occur to him. Abu Bakr's concern was being reunited with his teacher, his friend, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is true love, and this, of course, is Abu Bakr. Shortly afterwards, the angel of death approached him and withdrew the purest of all souls after the soul of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the souls of the prophets and messengers Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had just passed away. See, there is no human being after the prophets and messengers who was and will ever be greater than Abu Bakr. He occupies a category on his own, a rank that will never be surpassed. Now, what was it that made him so different from everyone else? Think about it. He wasn't as poor as Abu Huraira, for example, or Abu Dharr, yet he was still greater than them. He wasn't tortured like Khabbab or Bilal or Sumayya or Yasir, yet he was still greater than them. He wasn't wounded in battles, sustained injuries like Talha, Abu Ubaidah, or Khalid even, yet he was greater than them. He wasn't even killed as a shaheed, as a martyr, in the path of Allah, like Umar was, or Uthman was, or Ali, or Hamza, or Mus'ab, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, yet he was still greater than them all. So what was it? What was it that raised Abu Bakr to this exclusive level of greatness? A level which surpasses that of every scholar, worshipper, warrior of his time and the times to come. One of the Tabi'een, second generation Muslims, solved this mystery in a single sentence. His name was Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani. He said, "ما سبقهم أبو بكر بكثرة صلاة ولا صيام ولكن بشيء وقر في قلبه." He says it wasn't abundance of prayer or fasting which raised Abu Bakr beyond all others. He said it was something that had settled in his heart. You see, an action of the heart elevated him to unattainable heights. This is what Umar was referring to when he said that Abu Bakr's iman is heavier than the iman of the ummah combined. You see, allow me to expand upon this a little bit. We are all aware that iman, faith, consists of speech with the tongue, actions with the limbs, certainty within the heart. The majority of us have focused almost entirely on the outward form of iman, the actions of the limbs, without putting the correct emphasis on its essence, the actions of the heart. And this results in frail religiosity that is constantly at risk of collapsing. Every act of worship has a surah, an outward form, an appearance. And it also has a lub, meaning an essence, a core, a reality. So the outward appearance, for example, of salah, prayer, is standing, bowing, prostrating. But the lub, the essence, the heart of it, is khushu'a, inner humility. The outward appearance of fasting is not eating, drinking, and other nullifiers from sunrise to sunset. But the lub, the core of fasting, is what? Taqwa, consciousness of Allah. The outward form of hajj, circumambulation around the Kaaba, standing on Arafah, throwing the pebbles, and so on. But the lub, the essence of hajj, is what? Honoring the sacred commandments and symbols of Allah. Again, the outward appearance of dua is raising your hands, facing the direction of the prayer, calling. But what's the essence of dua? That inner sense of iftiqar, bankruptcy to Allah, and need. All of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were fervent worshippers. But what differentiated them were those secrets that were hidden within hearts. Elements like genuine love and fear of Allah, hope in Him, shyness of Him, sincerity, absolute certainty in Allah. These are the true elevators in the hereafter, focusing on the lub and the essence, not just the outward forms. And that is why Yahya ibn Mu'adh, he would say, مفاوج الدنيا تقطع بالأقدام ومفاوج الآخرة تقطع بالقلوب. The journeys in this world, they are made on your feet. As for the journeys to the hereafter, that is made by the heart.